The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all nations will be assembled before him. He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. A stranger and you gave me no welcome. Naked and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. I was having a conversation with someone not too long ago. It was before our trip, our pilgrimage. But they were of the opinion, they admitted that they weren't very well catechized growing up. They didn't know too much about the Catholic Church. But the question they had was, the church doesn't really believe in the Last Judgment anymore, do they? Is there still a judgment and there's heaven and hell? And I was kind of set back by this question because I guess there might be people who don't know that. I certainly was drilled into us when we were kids, but I wondered how many people might not. So I'm going to start this evening with just a little bit of a catechesis, I think, about this. And a kind of an interesting insight that comes from Vatican II as well, and then a reflection. So I'm starting with that line at the end of the Creed that seems like the catch-all for everything that's left over. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Each one of those things is completely separate in concept and in importance. First of all, the Holy Catholic Church, if you notice, it's a little c. It doesn't mean the Roman Catholic Church. Catholic means universal, so it means the church that's meant for all people. So we pray for that church, not just for ourselves. The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, those who are in heaven and those who are in purgatory and us. The forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Well, belief in the Last Judgment is held firmly by the Catholic Church. Immediately upon death, each of us will undergo a particular judgment. And depending on one's behavior on earth, we'll go to heaven or purgatory or hell. Those in purgatory will always reach heaven, but those in hell will not. One of the saints, I think it might have been St. Teresa of Avila, said that the purgatory is the happiest place God made outside of heaven. Because at least if you're there, you know you're going to get to heaven at some point. The last judgment will occur after the resurrection of the dead on the last day. So there is we die and we will be put into our tombs, but those bodies will be resurrected. We will rise. Resurrection of the body is part of the creed. Our mortal body will come to life again. And at the time of the last judgment, when Christ comes in his glory and all the angels with him, in his presence, the truth of each one of our deeds, each of our deeds will be laid bare. The truth of each of our deeds will be laid bare, and each person who has ever lived will be judged with perfect justice. The believers who are judged worthy, as well as those ignorant of Christ's teaching who followed the dictates of conscience, will go to everlasting bliss. Those who are judged unworthy will go to everlasting condemnation. So I have two reactions to that last paragraph. A decisive factor in the last judgment will be the question, were the corporal works of mercy practiced or not during your lifetime? They rate as important acts of charity, not just for Christians, but for all humans. To feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to shelter the homeless, to visit the sick, to visit the imprisoned, or to ransom the captive, and to bury the dead. Interestingly, all Christians, and Muslims too, hold that at the time of the last day, Jesus is the one who will return, and that he will judge both the living and the dead, and all will be bodily resurrected and stand before Christ as our judge, as we hear in the gospel today. And this judgment shall be a permanent separation of the righteous and the wicked. But I think there's a lot that we need to talk about. When I said the believers who are judged worthy, as well as those ignorant of Christ's teaching who followed the dictates of their conscience, this is something that comes directly out of Lumen Gentium, paragraph 16 from the Second Vatican Council, which I'd like to read here. Because being a sheep or a goat isn't necessarily a benefit of belonging to a particular group. It is in this document of Vatican II that the Church defines exactly who is the people of God. So paragraph 16, finally, those who have not yet received the gospel are related in various ways to the people of God. In the first place, we must recall the people to whom the testament and the promises were given and from whom Christ was born according to the flesh. Obviously, we're talking about the Jewish people. On account of their fathers, this people remains most dear to God, for God does not repent of the gifts he makes, nor of the calls he issues. But the plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator. In the first place, among these, there are the Muslims, who, professing to hold the faith of Abraham, along with us, adore the one and merciful God, who on the last day will judge mankind. Nor is God far distant from those who in shadows and images seek the unknown God, for it is he who gives to all people life and breath and all things, and as Savior wills that all people be saved. Those also can attain to salvation who through no fault of their own do not know the gospel of Jesus Christ or his church, yet sincerely seek God and moved by grace, strive by their deeds to do his will, as it is known to them through the dictates of their conscience. Nor does divine providence deny the helps necessary for salvation to those who, without blame on their part, have not yet arrived at an explicit knowledge of God and with his grace strive to live a good life. Whatever good or truth is found amongst them is looked upon by the Church as a preparation for the gospel. She knows that it is given by him who enlightens all people, so that they may finally have life. But often some, deceived by the evil one, have become vain in their reasonings and have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, serving the creature rather than the Creator. Of some there are who, living and dying in this world without God, are exposed to final despair. And then it goes on to explain that to promote the glory of God and procure the salvation of all of these, that's why we still are a missionary church, because we need to go out and continue to tell people who Jesus is and why we believe in him. So So this is my reflection. Consider now the motive behind why you do corporal works of mercy. There is a clue in the second reading today, a common understanding of humanity in early centuries that is not so common today. There was presumed an interconnectedness between all of God's creation, but especially between all human persons. God did not create individualistic persons. He created a community, mankind, a unity. And it is for this reason that what one does, good or evil, impacts all somehow. All are touched by our charity and by our sin. This understanding helps us to understand the doctrine of original sin and incarnation and redemption as reasonable. And this is where St. Paul says in the second reading today, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits for the Hebrew people was you would bring the first batch of your harvest to the temple, and you would place it there at the altar as an offering to God, and then there was a ritual prayer that you would say. This was not only giving tribute to God, but it was also expressing a hope that when the harvest is finished, it will be complete and fruitful. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead came also through man. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ all are brought to life. If people could just sit quietly for 5 minutes and think about this mystery, God was totally other until the incarnation. Mankind was one unity, God was another. Maybe there were more, we don't know. Adam's sin touched all of us, our humanity, and made us unworthy of redemption. So the only way to overcome this was for God to become us, because we could never become God. The divinity of Jesus touches all of us as we choose to receive him, mercifully in many and varied ways. For us Christians, it has been revealed to be baptism as the path. We enter into this life. It is no longer our own. We recognize that his presence is in every person, just as we are united to every person by creation. Now all is transformed and ready for fulfillment. So we do works of mercy literally, because not to do so would be to dismiss, reject, ignore, to be indifferent to Jesus himself. He is not speaking metaphorically, but literally. Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. It is we who make of ourselves sheep or goats long before we come before the throne. But as long as there is time, there is also hope.